The Illinois Small Business Person of the Year has been named. You know, there's 33.5 million small business owners in the U.S., 33.5 million. And our first guest is the Business Person of the Year for the Illinois region, Jackie Jackson, the franchise owner at Kilwins. There's a number of stores throughout the country. She owns five of them. Is it, Jackie? You own five of those shops?
Actually, I own six, and the seventh one will open up next week in River North, so it would be seven total.
They cited your resilience. They said it's not just enough to be a business person, but to triumph over adversity. You were, among other, characteristics, named the Business Person of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you, and thanks for having me today.
So, I've read your story, and it's really quite a journey. You fell into the business after being depressed. Your mom had passed away. You walked into a Kilwins store. The smell, the aroma reminded you of maybe your mom, and so you thought, oh, I've got to find something new, and you started to run one of those candy and ice cream shops. Is that right?
Absolutely. Once I walked into Kilwins, I was in Fort Lauderdale. As soon as I walked in the store, the spirit of my mother came all over me. It just reminded me when I was a little girl, about 6 years old, we would go to the candy store. When I tasted the ice cream, I could just hear my mother's voice saying how delicious it was. When I saw the turtle candy, my mother used to buy the Katie Dids in the round can. Yeah. So everything about Kilwins just reminded me so much of my mother, and I knew that's what I was meant to do.
So then what did you do?
Kilwins.
So then you, go ahead.
I immediately, first I thought it was a mom-pop shop. As I got ready to leave, I saw a Come Franchise With Us sign. So I immediately went back to the hotel, asked the concierge to map me out every Kilwins within a three-hour radius. So I went from Fort Lauderdale all the way to Sarasota, Delray Beach. I went all over. In every store, I had the same experience. The spirit of my mother came all over me, and I just knew that was what I needed to do, was come back to Chicago and bring Kilwins there, and that's exactly what I did.
Was it a hit right away? Did it go well for you?
No, it wasn't a hit. It was very disappointing. It started in 2008, and of course, everybody know 2008 is when that financial crisis hit, so it wasn't a good experience for me at all. And my business name was Pearl's Girl Sweet Treat. My mother name is Jessie Pearl. But what I told myself is, as long as I have a Kilwins, the spirit of my mother will always live on. So the first sign of adversity was during the financial crisis when I opened up a Kilwins in Orland Park. I just never, ever, ever got business, and it was very disappointing. I left Chicago Public Schools. I took my 401k down. I mortgaged my house. I did everything to make this possible. So, of course, I had no choice but to keep going. I could not give up. And by the grace of God, my landlord, which was Inland Real Estate Company out in Oak Brook, they gave me the opportunity. They gave me 60 days and told me if I was able to leave, that they would not penalize me for breaking my lease because they knew I was trying very hard. So I took the opportunity. I ran with it. And again, I went to Old Town, and that didn't work either. So I had to pack up and leave, and I landed in Hyde Park, and I've been in Hyde Park for over 12 years now. So
Hyde Park worked for you, huh? Isn't that funny? Sometimes location, 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 huh?
Absolutely. Location, location, location. But this time, trying to transition into Hyde Park was very difficult because Kilwins number one didn't work. Kilwins number two didn't work.
Yeah.
So what bank believed in me? You know, it was almost like nobody wanted to invest in me because of the two stores that had previously failed. But I was determined. I went to the University of Chicago. And the great news is they partnered with me. But I had to put some skin into the game as well. But at that time, I just didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew I was going to do it. My brother was retiring. He was getting a lump sum money of his retirement. And I just went to him, and I just asked him if he can loan me his retirement money. And he did. He did.
Wow. Did he know about the first two Kilwins that didn't go?
Oh, absolutely. He knew about Kilwins number one. He knew about Kilwins number two. But I am the... Yeah, I'm the baby of seven, and he know exactly. It's funny because all of my siblings, once they experience Kilwins, they say, oh, my God, this reminds me so much of Mama. So I think my brother believed in me because he knew that I would not give up. He knew I would not mess over his money.
Well, clearly you didn't give up, and now you've got the stores in Andersonville, Geneva, Evanston, Michigan Avenue, Navy Pier. You employ more than 75 people. One last thing from you, Jackie. We can hear your perseverance. What advice do you have for other small business people out there?
My advice to anyone in a small business, just make sure that whatever you do, that you have passion and there's a purpose behind it. And the number one thing I've learned from having Kill Ones number one to now having Kill Ones number seven is get involved with your community. Make sure that your transactions are not just transactional, that they're relationships, they're relational. Get involved with the community, pay it forward, give back, and serve with significance.
Congratulations, Jackie. I know there's more to your story than that, but I'll let people Google you and read more. But we just wanted to shine a light on you for a couple of minutes here and say well done.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you having me today.
Jackie Jackson is the franchise owner of half a dozen and growing Kill Ones in Chicago. Abrar Al-Hidi joins us again, the technology reporter over at CNET with some stories on the tech front. Abrar, it's John. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
TikTok is suing the U.S. government, which I thought was kind of ironic. I mean, where does a Chinese company get off telling us about the First Amendment or anything else? But there they are. Can you catch us up on that story?
Yeah, this is kind of not surprising. So there's been this effort to essentially force TikTok to either sell away, because right now they're owned by a Chinese parent company, ByteDance. So either they would have to sell TikTok or TikTok would get banned in the U.S. And TikTok is not going down without a fight. And TikTok is now suing the U.S. government, saying that this would violate free speech because users use the platform to express themselves. And really the argument that they're bringing up here is that why are we being specifically targeted instead of other social media apps? So it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. I really think they're going to keep fighting this. I mean, there have been efforts to ban TikTok in the past, and they have not been successful. And I have a feeling this is going to get heated in the coming months.
I heard recently the testimony by the president of TikTok to Congress about why his company is fairly insulated from Chinese influence. And he said, I think he's from Singapore, and he said the data by Americans is stored by an American company on American soil with an American staff. You know, he went through all of those bullet points that said it's not China. The Congress was not hearing it. They said, what do you know? You've united Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, and that's the thing here is this passed so quickly. This was a bipartisan effort. It quickly passed through the House and the Senate and then was signed. And that's what's so that really sets this apart, because everyone seems to be on board with this idea of this could be a threat to national security. But, you know, who isn't on board with that idea is not only TikTok, but TikTok users who are, you know, calling their Congress people and saying, we can't live without this app. We need you to undo that. And so it's going to get heated and people are going to chime in, and TikTok will continue to push back and say, hey, our data is secure. Don't worry about a thing.
Wonder what the Supreme Court would say. It's a conservative court. It's an originalist court. I don't have a feel for this. Do you? I wonder how our courts would judge this.
Yeah, this one's tricky because it's kind of the first of its kind, right? Like, you know, Meta has gotten a lot of heat for, you know, data privacy issues, but no one's ever tried to ban it, right? And so that's what's so interesting about this case is this is an effort to ban an app. And yes, it is an app that is, you know, the parent company is Chinese, and that's what sets Meta apart or any other company apart. But this is kind of the first of its kind. And so I'm really curious to see how the Supreme Court would react to something like this and what kind of precedent it would set.
TikTok is a big enough, successful enough company that the price would be many billions of dollars. Well, who has that kind of money? And if you say, well, Meta does or YouTube does or some of these major platforms, they might say, well, that's antitrust. They're not going to let Google acquire them. So then where do they go?
Exactly, because that would just be if Meta owned another platform, I think people would really push back on that. There's the last time this happened, Microsoft showed interest in buying TikTok. Oracle showed interest in buying TikTok. So it's possible that they could once again say, hey, here's my chance, because that fell through the first time. Maybe this is my chance to to once again get that piece of very, very lucrative pie. And I think companies are going to try to flock if TikTok does have to be sold. A lot of companies are going to say, this is a really great opportunity because there are so many users and many young users, and who wouldn't want that?
So OpenAI is reportedly working on a search feature for ChatGPT. What did I just say?
You said a lot of letters. This is something that I'm sure is making Google very uncomfortable because, you know, we all kind of use Google search and that's what we're used to. And ChatGPT is this is what the future of search is going to look like, because ChatGPT gives you more kind of cohesive answers, more conversational responses. So they're now apparently working on something that would compete with Google search. So instead of just typing in a search query into the search bar and getting a list of articles or a list of links, you would get something that's a bit more comprehensive, and it would have citations still. And that's a really big deal, because people worry with something like ChatGPT, are things going to get cited, or are they just going to pull from websites and plagiarize and, you know, reconstruct this narrative? But yeah, this is essentially what the future of AI is going to look like. Search is going to become a lot smarter, and Google is going to keep stepping up its efforts to incorporate AI into its search as well.
Are you saying that instead of 2.1 million responses to my query, it'll give me maybe something more streamlined, more specific to what I asked? Not the whole.
Exactly.
Don't give me the whole wiki world. Just tell me how to change a doorknob.
Exactly. And if you did Google something like that with this ChatGPT search, it might even include, you know, step-by-step illustrations of how to change the doorknob, right? And it'll just be, here's a chunk of text where I'm just going to show it to you right off the bat. So you don't have to click through these links and find which one is the right one, which one is the best one. It'll make all that a lot easier. And this is really why people love things like ChatGPT, because it just gives you the information you want.
I want to come over to my house and do it, GPT. I don't want to see an illustration. One last thing. I'm out of time, Abrar, but in fact, aren't the New York Times and other companies suing ChatGPT because they really are taking their data, their articles, their work, and they are appropriating it? What's the status of all of that?
Yeah, there are actually more publications that are doing the same thing. And the concern here is ChatGPT pulling from other writers and just surfacing the content without citations. And so what I hope happens, if ChatGPT does roll out this search function, that they provide those citations and those links, because these publishers say you can't just take our content for free and make money off of it. So that's something that I'm sure we will see more of in the coming months.
Abrar Al-Hidi is a technology reporter at CNET.com. Nice to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Say hello to Jessica Smart, the CEO at Clearbrook. Jessica, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, John.
Tell us what Clearbrook is.
Clearbrook started in 1955 by a group of families that had children with special needs, intellectual and developmental disabilities. And today we are based in Arlington Heights, and we provide services to 8,000 individuals living with intellectual and or developmental disabilities.
How do people access those? Do they go there? Is it online? Do you go to them? Talk about that.
A variety of things. I'll say that everything, all the services that we offer are outlined on our website, which is clearbrook.org. We serve about 400 individuals in residential environments, in community integrated living arrangements, which are just homes in the community that we purchase, and about four or so individuals will live together with staff support to more of a long-term care model.
You must be an oasis for those families.
Yeah. It's they're very, very grateful for the services that we're able to provide for their children, young children, and their adult children.
I want to talk about a fundraising event you have coming up, which is going to be fantastic. But just give me a short example of a family or an individual and the service you provide.
I think a good example, again, it's in our community integrated living arrangement, and that, may be an individual in their 30s with, you know, a level of independence in their activities of daily living, but may need support with cooking, with taking their medication, getting to the grocery store, and perhaps a job that they may have in the community.
Yeah, and so they live there, but there's some adult who's helping to supervise them maybe, huh?
Yeah, that's our a direct support professional position. They are our frontline workers.
And then how do people pay for this?
We are about 80% covered by government funding, and then we rely on the generous donations of our donor base to make up the difference.
My goodness, lucky the people, the 8,000 that you have served, but I understand there's still many thousands of people that could use these services and don't have them, right?
That's correct. There's about 16,000 people waiting for services in the state of Illinois right now.
I saw a statistic. Illinois ranks 47th among states when it comes to spending on intellectual and developmental disability cases, right?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
You have a fundraiser coming up, which I'm sorry I can't be at, but it's going to be at the Four Seasons. Am I right?
You are correct.
That's next Friday?
Next Friday, May 17th.
So just give me some of the highlights of that.
Sure. We'll be hosting what we call our Shining Star Ball at the Four Seasons in Chicago. Tickets are $500 each and can be purchased online at clearbrook.org. Right now we have 360 guests registered to attend, and we expect to sell out.
Wow. Good on you.
Yeah.
I presume the cause is sufficient reason to buy a ticket, but tell me a little bit about the evening. You're doing an auction too, right?
We are. We will have both a live and a silent auction. I think the live auction will go very well. We have a signed autographed guitar from Taylor Swift. And so we expect that to generate a lot of activity during the fundraising component.
That's going to be silly. That's just going to be, you are going to have so much fun when that goes on the auction.
I know.
Oh my God. And that'll be a live auction item, I presume, right?
That'll be a live auction item.
Yeah. Don't raffle that off. I'm just wondering, although you could probably sell a lot of tickets, but you'll have to check in with us Monday and tell us how the whole event went. That'd be Monday, the day after the following Monday. Would it be the 19th maybe?
Mm-hmm.
But, or 20th, but I can't imagine what that will go for. Think of how much fun somebody's going to have when they get it, and the whole room is just going to be lit up for that.
We've been kind of tracking some other auctions, and this particular item has gone for anywhere from $7,000 to $30,000. So. I guess I'm hoping we have a whole lot of Swifties in our attendance.
Well, if you don't, their daughters and sons will be. But I shoot seven. I'll give you eight. Come on, let's go.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
Yeah, we have a silent bid here from an anonymous source. Okay, so if I want to help out Clearbrook, if I want to buy a ticket, have a quite the gala at the Four Seasons in Chicago on Friday the 17th. If I don't go, is there an online component? What can I do to help out?
There is an online component to the auction, not for the live auction events, but for our silent auction, which will contain experience at Medina, a chef's table at Medina, a sports ticket package, which includes the Wintrust Skybox at Wrigley, and then we also have seats on the glass for the Blackhawks. Individuals not in attendance can text SSB24 to 76278 to bid online for the silent auction. And again, at our website, clearbrook.org, all of the information for the event is there as well.
Clearbrook.org, clearbrook.org. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good on you, Jessica. My best to everyone over there. Let's visit the Monday afterwards and let us know how it went. Maybe we'll maybe rake in a few more donations still.
All right. Thank you so much.
Jessica Smart, the CEO at Clearbrook. WinTrust.org. More business news now. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the WinTrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago ranks fourth among U.S. cities for the number of millionaires. The city has 120,500 millionaires, 24 billionaires, and 290 centimillionaires. A centimillionaire has a wealth of at least $100 million. Compared to a decade ago, the millionaire figure is up 22%. The report says one in every 22 residents, or about 2.6 million Chicagoans, are millionaires. Figures are compiled by international wealth migration firm Henley & Partners. New York City has the most millionaires in the U.S., followed by the San Francisco Bay Area and Los Angeles. After Chicago is Houston, Dallas, Seattle, Boston, Miami, and Austin. A Chicago-based insurance startup plans to double its staffing over the next 18 months. Honeycomb Insurance has 90 employees and plans to add 90 more. The company recently raised $36 million in a Series B round. Honeycomb Insurance is currently on track to sell $130 million worth of insurance premiums in 2024, which would be a threefold increase over last year. The company uses computer vision and artificial intelligence-driven inspection technology to take aerial photos of building roofs, often eliminating the need for physical inspections. Honeycomb also plans to use the new funding to introduce new products and expand to new markets. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your WinTrust Business Minute.
Okay, now another business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. It's been quite a week for Pop-Tarts. Not only the Seinfeld movie, but our own Bob Surratt shared this revelation.
I've never had a Pop-Tart.
So, he did. We'll hear his verdict after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Well, it tastes like a some sort of sugary cracker.
While he's chewing on that, let's hear from one of Kellanova's marketing team for Pop-Tarts, who attended the world premiere of Seinfeld's movie in Los Angeles.
I'm Sarah Reinecke, and I'm the vice president of marketing.
One out of five Pop-Tarts, would you give it a one or a five?
This is a five Pop-Tart film.
Seinfeld appeared in a promo video that Pop-Tarts put together.
Mr. Seinfeld, I'm Kelman P. Gasworth, the president of Pop-Tarts.
I just made a whole movie about Pop-Tarts.
Did you now? Well, isn't that something? It's my understanding that you neither sought nor received permission to use our product in your movie.
Is that true?
We found out about it the same way everyone else did.
How did that go over with your attorneys?
We certainly had conversations, but we were all laughing. Our lawyers were great about it. They're well-versed in IP, but they clearly also know how to take a joke. So we felt like it was just a huge marketing moment for us and wanted to be part of the conversation, even though we weren't part of the creation of the movie.
This really is pure marketing gold for Pop-Tarts, though, isn't it?
Yes, we see that we're winning in the marketplace with this brand. So we measure social conversation. We measure brand love. And we see a really nice uptick in those numbers.
A while back, you told me those numbers got a bump because of Taylor Swift. Did she ever get back to you with the recipe for the homemade Pop-Tarts that she served to the Kansas City Chiefs?
We're still waiting for her response.
Well, she has been busy. Maybe after her Paris gig this week, she'll have time to give you the recipe. Let's go back to Bob.
I gotta admit that I'm not hooked on Pop-Tarts now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess when you're 6 years old, this would be pretty exciting.
Well, you can't make everybody happy. On the food calendar, today's National Butterscotch Brownie Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Well, it's time to visit once again with our friend Dobra Bylinski, the owner of Delightful Pastries in Chicago. Dobra, it's John Williams. How have you been?
I've been doing super excellent and awesome and amazing. How about yourself?
Do you miss me?
I totally missed you. You need to stop by the bakery because we've got some cool new goodies for you. And I'm just waiting for them to stop slicing the bread. And I'm kind of like looking at what we've got. And I think something that will really tickle your fancy, we made this French apricot almond tort. So it's got a layer of sweet dough. We put an almond cream in, and we put apricots on top, and then sliced almonds, and we bake the whole thing together. Afterwards, we glaze it lightly, and it's like sweet and sour, and I love apricots and almonds. It's so delicious.
So these are your Mother's Day concoctions for Mother's
concoctions,
Day.
Concoctions, yes. And I did a rhubarb strawberry crumble. That's very, very classic, very Midwestern, very Polish. You know, I sometimes think Polish people have everything in common with every other nationality.
Yeah.
Then we did some Charlotte, which the French, we call it an apple slice in the Midwest. and it's roasted apples from Michigan. And then we put a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of orange zest. We put it between some sweet dough, and we made our peach cheesecake with farmer's cheese. And then we've got some awesome treats for mothers. So to all the moms, to all the guys out there who don't know what to get their wives or their moms or whomever in the family, we did this mocha mousse caramel gâteau. We've got a raspberry mousse gâteau. So it's raspberry mousse, and then we did a strawberry raspberry confit in the middle. And then we've got a pink white chocolate glaze on the outside with gorgeous chocolate decorations. And then, of course, you know me, I love passion fruit. I love passion fruit like it's going out of style. So we did a passion fruit curd, and then we stuffed it inside a passion fruit mousse. And then we did a passion fruit gelée with a mascarpone, vanilla bean lime whipped cream that we finished on top. So we've got some fancy, we got some fancy ass stuff if you want to elevate your event.
Yeah.
And then we've got some down to earth things. And then we're also doing gift baskets. So I did a grapefruit marmalade. I did a strawberry, like a low sugar marmalade jam. Actually, that's not a marmalade. Marmalade when it has it's citrus and it usually has the peel inside it. And the blood orange one came out gorgeous. It's just so red, and it's got those little bits of a peel in it to kind of give it a little bit of a bitterness. You know, on your tongue, we have sweet, we have salty, we have sour, we have bitter, and we have umami. And some of these jams kind of touch all of the above. And then, of course, we've got those beautiful cookie boxes that say "Mom." We cut out the letters, we decorated it, we put some flowers in there, so you have some of that. Classics Americana, as I call it. And then we did the truffles. We did raspberry and brandy truffle. We did a passion fruit truffles, and we did an orange liqueur truffle. So there's something there for everybody. Which one would you pick for your wife?
I'm sorry, what was that? So Dobra Mylewski is on the phone. She is the owner of Delightful Pastries. It's on Lawrence Avenue.
Lawrence Austin, yeah, in Jefferson Park.
And so, by the way, and incidentally, I have the list of some of the things you've mentioned here. The trio of gâteau, $23.97. The box of truffles, $14 for a box of four. The Mother's Day gift basket that you described, $40. You're even doing like ham and turkey and egg salad finger sandwiches, right?
Yes, but you need to order those ahead of time because, you know, you can't just say, oh, I want some. It takes 3 days for us to make them. So
people need to
call us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today would be the cutoff. So 773-545-7215. As I said, if that is too fancy, fancy for you, or too fancy schmancy, however you want to say it, mm-hmm. you can come. We've got some beautiful quiches. We've got our Mediterranean quiche, which has a layer of roasted peppers, layer of roasted zucchini, a layer of roasted squash,
of
onions.
Yeah, for like Mother's Day morning. All right, so
we've got lots of cool options for you. When are you stopping by the bakery, John?
I'm thinking about swinging by and picking some of this stuff up after the show. Now, Delightful Pastries, it's on Lawrence, and what was the cross street again?
Lawrence and Austin.
Austin, 773. 545-7215 or delightfulpastries.com. Mm-hmm. Delightfulpastries.com. All right. Go ahead, Dobra. This interview is over now, but go ahead. You get the last word.
Okay. If somebody wants to give a wonderful gift, we've got a quiche class next Saturday. So if you want to have an interesting gift for the mom, she doesn't want cookies, she doesn't want pastry, she doesn't want another bouquet of flowers, then quiche class it is, and she will have 3 hours of fun at the bakery, and she'll get to taste quiches, take some home. It's a fun experience for everybody.
DelightfulPastries.com. Dobra, good to hear your voice again. Keep doing
likewise,
what you're doing.
Likewise, John.
Okay.
See you at the bakery later on today.
I know. She is she's like that when you walk in, and the customers know her and love her, and she really has a going concern over there. And she's fighting for that neighborhood, too, I'll add.